So instead of Srimad Bhagavatam class, we're having the last day of the seminar, which I've been giving, about the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. So I'd like to welcome you to the third and last day of our seminar. And you have some papers here. One of them is a chart. And this chart on the left side has numbers, and each number is a verse of the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. And on the right side is a topic. If you don't have a chart, then you can share with somebody who has one. Then this topic of the verse. So the last 2 days we were studying how Prahlad is confident that even though he's not qualified, he can worship the Lord and offer prayers. And how he pacified Lord Nrisingadev. How he was fearless of the extreme anger of Nrisingadev. But he was afraid of Maya, and he prayed, "When will Krishna call me?" So you had homework the day before to hear the call of Krishna. How is Krishna calling you? And then we heard how the remedies are worse than the disease, and why we should surrender to Krishna, because we're hopelessly entangled, we're crushed by time, everything's finished in a second, and there's no happiness here. And best of all, if we surrender, we will get causeless mercy, even more than Lakshmi, Brahma, or Lord Shiva. And what was the causeless mercy that Prahlad Maharaj got? He got the hand of Lord Nrisingadev on his head. Even Lakshmi didn't get that. So if we surrender to Krishna, we'll get such mercy. And then we heard how to surrender, that we become servant of the servant. And we heard many reasons why it's better to be servant of the servant than to actually serve the Lord directly. So what were some of those reasons that it's better to be servant of the servant? Let's see if you remember something from yesterday's class. Yes? The devotee is more merciful than Krishna. Okay, anything else? Any other reason? Why? Yes?
You get
mercy from the whole parampara. So isn't that amazing? You get so much mercy. Any yes? Krishna loves his devotee more than himself. So if you serve the devotee, Krishna's happy. Yes?
Krishna says that one who claims to be my devotee is not my devotee.
Right.
One who claims to be the devotee is my devotee.
Exactly. Yes. Devotee. Very good. Thank you, Maharaj. And even though you weren't here, you knew the answer. Good. One who claims to be my devotee is not my devotee. Yes, it's probably better if you give the class, but somehow I'm up here. Anyway, so yes, these are all good reasons why it's better to be servant of the servant. And another reason is that the word, if a servant of the Lord says something, Krishna must uphold his word. So that's another good reason why. If the servant says, "You go back to Godhead," you must go. And so that's another good reason. And then we heard a very short summary of the creation yesterday, and today we're going to start with verse 37, which is beginning a couple of verses about the incarnations of the Lord. Now, you have another some papers with verses, but you don't have this one. But 38 you have, and that will sing together. 37 I'll summarize for you. It was about Hayagriva and how he killed the two demons known as Madhu and Kaitav and delivered Vedic knowledge to Lord Brahma. Now, we will sing verse 38 together because you all have this verse. You see another group of papers that have verses on them, and you look for verse 38 in the prayers of, this is Canto 7, Chapter 9. If you don't have it, share with somebody. And we will sing it together. And this is a famous verse for a very important reason. Itam niti agrishideva chasavatarai. Itam niti agrishideva chasavatarai. Lokan vibhavayasi hansi jagat pratipan. Lokan vibhavayasi hansi jagat pratipan. Dharmam maha. Purushabhasi yuganavittam. Mahapurushabhasi yuganavittam. Channakalaya rabhavasti. Chiyugatasatvam cha Kalayadabhavastiyugatasatvam. In this way, my lord, you appear in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, a fish, a tortoise, thus maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems and killing the demoniac principles. According to the age, O my lord, you protect the principles of religion. In the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as a supreme personality of Godhead, and therefore you are known as Chiyuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. So Lord Nrsingadev came to protect Prahlad Maharaj. Lord Vishnu came to protect Lord Brahma. So who came to protect us? Prabhupada, yes. That's the answer I usually get. Now, according to the verse, it's another incarnation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you. Of course, Prabhupada is more merciful than Lord Chaitanya. So therefore, for us, it is Prabhupada. But also for us is Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He gave us Gaura Nithai, who are very, very merciful, and they don't see our bad qualities, and Nityananda doesn't see if we don't deserve it, he just gives it. So this is Lord Chaitanya. We failed to understand Krishna's message in Bhagavad Gita, so therefore he came as Lord Chaitanya to teach us how to surrender and to be a devotee. So now verse 39, you don't have it, so no use looking for it. I'll just summarize it for you. My dear Lord of the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no anxiety, my mind is extremely sinful and lusty, being sometimes so-called happy and sometimes so-called distressed. My mind is full of lamentation and fear, and it always seeks more and more money. Thus, it has become most polluted and is never satisfied in topics concerning you. I am therefore most fallen and poor. In such a status of life, how shall I be able to discuss your activities? So these are the problems of the mind. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that the only way to control the mind is to chant Hare Krishna. And he'll say the same thing in the next verse, which is about the senses. Now, one thing in this verse, a very important part of this verse, is that it explains what is the difference between the spiritual world and this world. There is one word or a phrase in the purport which explains what is Vaikuntha, if you are listening carefully. And you can tell me, what is it that's different in the spiritual world that we don't have here, that we have here and we don't have there, actually. Let's put it that way.
Fear.
Anxiety, very good. That was in the verse. Fear also, that's true. Yeah, no anxiety. Here we have anxiety. And in his lecture, Srila Prabhupada said that they want anxiety here. Because, and even in this world, people create anxiety so they can be the hero and come out of the anxiety. So they've conquered it. And so they want to be a hero, and they want anxiety, Prabhupada said. That is their heroic activities. Now, when Srila Prabhupada was in Toronto in the 70s, the temple president, I think it was Uttama Shloka, said to Prabhupada, you know, we're thinking of buying a new temple, which is a big church, but it's very, very costly, $400,000. Of course, now it's worth millions. So Prabhupada said, no, don't create anxiety. This is too much over-endeavor, and you'll have to spend all your time making money for this temple. But then they said, well, Prabhupada, maybe you'd just like to see it and see what you think. So they took Prabhupada to their church, and he was so impressed. He said, you must get this for our temple. And he said, but Prabhupada, you said don't create anxiety. And Prabhupada said, you must have anxiety for Krishna. So that was Prabhupada. He'd give one instruction one time, and then he'd give the opposite another time. And so, yes, they did get that temple, and it's still there, and it's a beautiful place. Right, you know, huge highways on both sides, huge traffic, and it's a very wonderful temple. So, yes, for Krishna, we should have anxiety, but not for the things of this world. So, Prahlad Maharaj is expressing the problems in the next verse 40. It's about the senses. We heard about the senses yesterday. Who remembers the analogy of the senses? What were the senses compared to? Snakes. Prahlad said, I've fallen into a well of snakes. And here's our well, this body, and the snakes are the senses. So we have this problem. So he explains how the senses are working in his next prayer in verse 40. And that's how we're servant of the senses. My dear Lord, oh, infallible one, my position is like that of a person who has many wives, all trying to attract him in their own way. For example, the tongue is attracted to palatable dishes, the genitals to sex with an attractive woman, and the sense of touch to contact with soft things. The belly, although filled, still wants to eat more. And the ear, not attempting to hear about you, is generally attracted to cinema songs. Sense of smell is attracted to yet another side. The restless eyes are attracted to scenes of sense gratification. And the active senses are attracted elsewhere. In this way, I'm certainly embarrassed. So, Srila Prabhupada explains, our master is our senses. We like to serve our senses. And in that way, we're torn. Because our senses want to take us one way, away from Krishna, and our intelligence is trying to bring us to Krishna. Especially if you have to go out and work in the world, it might be a very difficult challenge that your senses take you one way. So Prabhupada recommends, actually in the Prabhupada, he recommends chanting Hare Krishna. In his lecture, he recommends deity worship to control your senses. You come to the temple, you offer something to the deity. If you have nothing, you offer your prayers. As we said in the Bhagavatam class, you give your life. And if you can't give your life, you give some money. And if you don't have money, give your intelligence. And if you're not smart, then just give your words. Chant Hare Krishna, offer some prayers, tell somebody about Krishna. But this is how we develop our love for Krishna and control our senses and control our mind at the same time. Give our senses something beautiful to see. You can look at Shamasundar, no, what's his name, Govardhan Dhari, and Radharani, and see all the beautiful roses on their head today, hanging from their head, and how it's so... And when you look at the roses out there, it's not the same, you know, when you see them here, and then it's so beautiful and attractive. They make the flowers more attractive when you put them on them. And so this is how we control the mind. And now Prahlad Maharaj is going to beg mercy in the next few prayers and express his internal mood, his attitude, which is very similar to Srila Prabhupada's attitude. So verse 41, you don't have it. We'll see you in verse 43. I'll just read it for you. My dear Lord, you're always transcendentally situated on the other side of the river of death, but because of the reactions of our own activities, we are suffering on this side. Indeed, we've fallen into this river and are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death and eating horrible things. Now kindly look upon us, not only upon me, but also upon all others who are suffering. By your causeless mercy and compassion, deliver us and maintain us. So this is the attitude of a Goshtanandi, of a preacher. He's not only thinking about himself, he's thinking about all others. He's begging mercy for everyone. In verse 42, he's being more specific. He's begging mercy for us, the devotees. Oh, my Lord, original spiritual master of the entire world, what is the difficulty for you who manage the affairs of the universe in delivering the fallen souls engaged in your devotional service? You are the friend of all suffering humanity, and for great personalities, it is necessary to show mercy to the foolish. Therefore, I think you will show your causeless mercy to persons like us who engage in your service. So the attitude of the disciple is he feels like he's a fool before the spiritual master. Even Lord Chaitanya had that attitude that he said, my guru saw me as a fool. He said, don't study Vedanta, just chant Hare Krishna. So we are all in the same circumstance before our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, before your guru. We are all fools, and we need the mercy, and Prahlad is begging that mercy for us. So Prahlad is such a wonderful devotee. He's thinking of us. Verse 43, we will say together, and 44. So look again on your verses and look for number 43. 3. And here on your chart, it's compassion for fools. And that's us, including us. So we'll sing it. I'll sing one line, and you can repeat after me. These two verses are very, very famous, and they really express the mood of a preacher, of a devotee. Naivo dije paradaratyaya vaitaranyas. Naivo dije paradaratyaya vaitaranyas. Tadvir yagaya namaham mitamakna chitta. Yagaya namaham mitamakna chitta. Shokche tato vimugaje tasa indiyartha. Chetato vimukha chetasa indiyartha. Maya sukhaya paramudvado vimurhan. Maya sukhaya paramudvado vimurhan. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. Forever I stay, I'm fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I'm simply concerned with love for them. Now here in this verse, there is one of Prabhupada's famous words. Oh no, it's in the next one. Is it this one? Vimudha? Maya sukhaya paramudvado. Yes, the last word. Vimudha. Actually, mudha is his favorite word. Fool. But in this case, vimudha means a very great fool, a very special fool. In this world, people are special fools. So, because they're carrying the burden of happiness. Why do we say that happiness in this world is a burden? How can we say that? Why is it a burden? Why do we say it's a burden of happiness? Because
it keeps them away from Krishna.
Because?
It keeps them away from Krishna.
Keeps us away from Krishna, Maharaj?
You know, if you get so-called happiness, you have to work like a dog.
It's only so-called happiness, but you work like a dog, yeah. 5 or 6 days a week, you work day and night. And then Sunday you enjoy, and usually you get drunk and to forget your misery of the previous week, or you sleep. You think, now I can sleep. No, this is happiness. This is a happiness. Any other reasons? Yeah.
Prabhupada says in one purport, in the Bhagavad Gita, that the ultimate enemy of the living entity is material happiness.
The enemy of the living entity is material happiness. Wow, that's something to meditate on. Okay, yes? There's no way to obtain it, okay? It's like we heard yesterday, a mirage in the desert. So what do you do when you see a mirage? You go for it, and it keeps moving ahead. So the happiness keeps moving ahead. It's always one step ahead of you. And even if you get it, it doesn't live up to your expectations. You buy these new things. I bought a juicer, and as soon as I brought it home, it broke. You know, it was like, right. Indian juicer in Vrindavan, specifically Vrindavan, but it did have a 2-year warranty, so I took it back, and they fixed it. It was a loose connection. So yeah, I mean, but you get these things and they just don't live up to your expectations. Yeah, my son, they bought an Android phone, and it just wasn't working at all very nicely, and so then they got another one, a different one, and they say this new one, iPhone 5S, they got, and that one, your privacy is compromised. You know, there's always something wrong. That was something. So yeah, you can't get it. It's a burden. It's a burden. It's mixed. When my son was 10 years old, he was with his friend. These are Gurukul boys, very, very special children. So they were in my house, and they saw this big, big ant. And the ant was going around in circles because he had this huge burden. And they were looking at the ant. You know, like regular kids would probably just smash it. But these Gurukul kids were looking, and they were studying this ant. And they said, look at that poor ant. He's going around in circles. Let's help that ant. So they took away his burden, and the ant went straight. So this is the story of this material world, that everyone's going around in circles, carrying huge burdens that are unnecessary to carry. They don't help you, but yet they make you go around in circles. So therefore, sometimes Krishna takes it away. And at first you don't appreciate, why did he take away this from me? But afterwards you realize, yes, it was a burden, and I really don't need it after all. Can't take it with me. As we discussed in one class, I think that Alexander the Great, he had three wishes, and one of them was that all my wealth should be scattered on the road, on the way to the cemetery. Because you can't take it with you. It stays on earth. You get it on earth, and it stays on earth. So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is, he's actually happy. He says, I'm very happy. But I do have some unhappiness. I do have some lamentation. And it's for these poor people who are suffering in this material world. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the Purport, this is the problem of the Vaishnava. That he sees others are suffering. He's not suffering. He's happy. He's satisfied. He's got Krishna. He's got devotional service. But then he sees others. And then he feels unhappy for them. So verse 44 is also another continuation of this mood of the Vaishnava, and we will sing this together. So look for number 44 on your paper, on the verse paper. This is self-sacrifice for all. Prayena deva munaya svavi mukti kama.
Prayena deva munaya svavi mukti kama.
Manam charanti vijanena parartha nishtha.
Manam
charanti vijanena parartha nishtha. Naitan vihaya kipanan vivamuksha heko. Naitan vihaya kipanan vivamuksha heko. Nanyan tarasya sharanam bhamato anabashye. Nanyan tarasya sharanam bhamato anabashye. My dear Lord Nrisimhadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Maunavrat. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. So Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport to this verse that every member of the Krishna consciousness movement is interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So how many of you have gone door to door? I've gone, yeah. It's quite an experience. You learn humility when you go door to door. And Prabhupada says this. I know there's another religion where I think the first 2 years, Jehovah's Witness, everybody has to go door to door and preach to people.
Mormons?
Yeah. Okay, Mormons.
And
Jehovah, yeah, both of them.
Jehovah's
Mormons. If you don't preach 10 hours a month, you're not considered a Jehovah's Witness. So just imagine that. They're excommunicated. Well, ISKCON is more liberal, at least. People complain about ISKCON, but just try that group. So, yes, they understand the importance of spreading the word. And Prabhupada says, this is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement, in this purport. The members of the Krishna conscious movement must be convinced without Krishna, one cannot be happy. So, are you all convinced? Without Krishna, cannot be happy? Now, Tirtharaj, who is from Australia, preaches in China. And he told one story where in China, of course, you cannot preach directly. You have to preach secretly. So, but they have programs, kirtan programs, and they were having one such program at a Buddhist monastery up in the mountains. And he was sitting in the audience, and some of the Chinese were up on the stage, and they were having kirtan. And he was sitting next to a Buddhist monk. So the Buddhist monk pointed to his sika, "What's that?" And he said, "Yeah, that's a symptom that I'm a servant of this movement." He couldn't say God, he couldn't say Krishna, you know, otherwise he might get put in jail. So, and he said, what is your philosophy? He said, then Tirthara said, "You know, same as yours, we believe in the oneness with everything," and he tried to explain it in a Krishna conscious way and without Krishna somehow. I don't know how he did it. And then the monk asked, "Well, what do you do?" He says, "Well, we go village to village, town to town, and we teach our philosophy." So then the monk said to him, "You are higher than we are because we're afraid to go out. We keep in the mountains because we fear this material energy. We fear this world. So therefore, we're just interested in our own salvation." So wasn't that an interesting observation by that Buddhist monk? He realized, yes, you're higher than we are. You're going out. You're caring about the people. So this is the attitude of the devotee. They're not interested in their own salvation. Unfortunately for us, Prabhupada was not like a lot of people who say, "I won't leave Vrindavan. I live in Vrindavan," and the Brijbasis won't leave Vrindavan. They won't even go to another place in India, but to speak of the West. And they think it's sinful. Not sinful, but it's, you know, it's dangerous. Like Prabhupada, before he came to the West, he asked the blessings. He had a group of Sanskrit scholars and devotees. They used to discuss Bhagavatam together. And he asked for their he wanted to ask for their blessings to go to the West, but he knew they wouldn't give it. So what he did was he took his three volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam and he passed it around. He said, "Please give these books blessings. They are going to the West." So after everyone gave their blessings to the books, Prabhupada said, "Now you have to give me blessings because I'm going to carry the books to the West." And so he tricked them and they all gave their blessings to Prabhupada to go to the West. Yes, you need the blessings of the Brijbasis. As we discussed in yesterday's class, even Lakshmi is begging the blessings of the Brijbasis to come over the other side of the Jamuna. She's on the other side at Srivan. So I just want to read you something. I want to share something with you if I can find it. Yeah, this is from the diary of Indradyumna Maharaj. And some of you preachers may have a similar experience to what Maharaj has gone through. He was on the airplane going to a country called Paraguay in South America. And he was reading up the American Embassy puts, you know, warnings and bulletins about different countries. So he was reading up on Paraguay. And this is what the embassy, the American consulate, said: "U.S. citizens should avoid large gatherings or any other event where crowds have congregated to demonstrate or protest. Such activities have resulted in intermittent road closures, including major routes traveled by tourists and residents. U.S. citizens who encounter roadblocks should not attempt to continue the planned travel or to confront those at the roadblock." So Maharaj said, I made a mental note: avoid roadblocks. As I continued to read, I began to wonder if I had made the right decision in going to Paraguay. Organizations providing financial support to extremist groups operate in Ciudad del Este, is where he was going, and several high-profile kidnappings for ransom have occurred. Avoid kidnappings, I thought, half joking with myself. Armed robberies, car thefts, home invasions are common in both urban and rural areas. Street crime, including pickpocketing and mugging, is prevalent in the cities, particularly during the evening hours in the vicinity of hotels and airports. Better be careful when I land in Ciudad del Este, I thought. Anyway, no reason to be discouraged. Experience has shown such places often present the best opportunities for preaching. I soon fell asleep and woke up abruptly 45 minutes later as the flight was landing. Groggy from sleep, I grabbed my hand luggage and quickly got off the flight. I was the only passenger to get off. As I was walking towards the terminal, I suddenly realized I wasn't sure if the flight had actually landed in Ciudad del Este. Looked at the terminal building, but the sign didn't mention anything about Ciudad del Este. Presented my passport at immigration. "Is this Ciudad del Este?" I asked the officer. Either he couldn't understand English or he thought I was mad, because he just shook his head and laughed, stamping my passport and waving me forward. I had only hand luggage, so I quickly walked towards the exit to meet the devotees outside. Along the way, I was surprised to see a sign in English, and I stopped to read it. Warning, dengue fever prominent in this area, transmitted by mosquitoes. It is found mainly in herbal areas and around human dwellings. Take all necessary precautions. One more thing to watch out for, I thought, as I walked out the door. But as the automatic doors closed behind me, I realized there is nobody there to meet me. I broke out in a cold sweat. Maybe Ciudad del Este was the next stop, I thought. I pulled out my cell phone to make a phone call, but there was no connection. I decided to wait, and I sat down on the curb. At that moment, a group of 10 or 15 taxi drivers approached me. "Habla English?" I said. Is this Ciudad del Este?" Some of them said, "Sí." Some of them said, "No." Immediately, all of them moved in and surrounded me. I knew I was in trouble. When I tried to stand up, one of them shoved me back down. The next moment, I saw my computer bag being picked up, and I grabbed it tightly. Off to my left, I saw my deity box being dragged away, and I quickly caught it as well. As the men moved around me, I jostled to keep my bags by my side. Suddenly, a van pulled up, and I saw devotees inside. Then, as quickly as they had arrived, the taxi drivers disappeared into the darkness. "Everything okay?" said a devotee. "Couldn't be better," I said. "You guys arrived just in time." "How do you like Paraguay?" another devotee asked. "So far, it's everything I expected," I replied. I was a bit shaken by the incident at the airport, and I was silent as we drove through the night to a small temple on the outskirts of the city. As the van bounced along the cobblestone streets, I tried to study the scene outside, but it was too dark. I imagined it would look much like what I've read, poor, undeveloped, and rampant with crime. When we arrived, a small group of devotees received me, and I then retired to my room. I lay down on my bed exhausted. It was hot and humid, so I didn't cover myself until the mosquitoes discovered me. Then I wrapped myself up, preferring to swelter under the covers rather than risk dengue fever. A little corner of hell, I thought, as I drifted off to sleep. That night I dreamt the taxi drivers kidnapped me at the airport, threw me in the back of a taxi, and drove away. They sent a message to ISKCON's GBC. It had 24 hours to pay a ransom of $2 million. The GBC wrote back that it couldn't pay because too many temples were in debt. As the kidnappers prepared to kill me, a host of angels appeared in the sky and started singing, scaring away my kidnappers. I woke up sweating. Was it a dream, I thought? Of course it was, I said out loud. Sitting up in the darkness, suddenly I heard the angels singing again. I quickly got out of bed and opened the door. A flood of early morning light entered. I walked outside and the singing became louder. A devotee approached me. "Good morning, Maharaj. Did you sleep well?" Where's that singing coming from?" I asked. "Oh, there's a Christian school just behind the wall of your room," he said. "All morning, the children sing beautiful Christian hymns." "Bless those little angels," I said. I went to take my shower. Later, I walked to the front of our property and was amazed to see a beautiful landscape of simple houses set in serene subtropical foliage. "Everything okay, Mr. Brahmachari?" "Yes, I'm fine. It's just I didn't expect this. I mean, it wasn't in the reports I read. It's so beautiful." The next day, devotees told me they'd arranged two lectures at a local university. As it turned out, however, the university was a combined grade school and high school. First class consisted of 200 children, 8 to 10 years old. As they sat staring at me, I tried to explain basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness in simplest terms. But their attention span lasted only a few minutes, and they were soon talking with each other. So I started discussing something they might better understand, kindness to animals. I was trying to tell them animals have souls when I noticed a little girl about 9 years old in the front row listening intently. When I said we should not be cruel to animals, I saw a tear glide down her face. I decided to direct my talk to her alone. When I said all creatures are part of one spiritual family, her face lit up. When the recess bell rang, all the other children jumped up and rushed outside, but the girl sat still for a moment, reflecting on what she'd heard. Then she slowly got up and left. After the break, a group of 300 high school students entered. I asked Jagajivan Prabhu to speak to them, and they all listened intently. And suddenly, the little girl, the previous group, entered the classroom and came back to her previous seat. She immediately became absorbed in lecture. After half an hour, Jagajivan ended his talk and wanted me to lead kirtan. I jumped at the opportunity. I wanted the little girl to experience the bliss of Krishna consciousness. As I taught the students the mantra, I saw her repeating it carefully, word for word. I started singing. Many of the students stood up and danced, and the kirtan became more ecstatic, and other students came from classrooms. And after a while, I looked at my watch and realized we had gone way over the time limit. When I stopped the kirtan, all the students started screaming for more. I had no choice but to start again. And after 1 hour, I brought the kirtan to a close and glanced at the little girl. She was in her seat, smiling and radiant, relishing the nectar of the holy names. She's yours now, my lord, I thought. Please guide her to your lotus feet. After a few moments, she glanced at her watch, jumped up, and quickly ran toward the exit. When she reached the door, she stopped, turned around, and smiled at me, a look of deep appreciation in her eyes. Then she was gone. When all the children had left, I sat down and quietly reflected on how I'd been apprehensive about coming to Paraguay. Shaking my head, I looked upward and laughed. Good Lord, I said, you can send me to hell anytime you wish, as long as I can hear the angels sing and there are souls like that little girl eager to chant your holy names. So this is the mood of a preacher. He's willing to go anywhere to share the Hare Krishna movement and to just if there's one sincere soul ready to listen. And here, what's a 9-year-old girl? What's her qualification to be a devotee? And Maharaj, he didn't see that. He didn't see, oh, this it's just a little girl. Forget about her. No, he was concerned and he desired and he prayed that she would go back to Godhead, that the Lord would take her. So this is the mood of a preacher. That he wants everyone to go back to Godhead. And this is the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, the mood of Srila Prabhupada. Thank God for us that Prabhupada had that mood. He didn't see our qualification. We were so unqualified, making so many mistakes. But he did want to take us back. So we'll go quickly through the last verses. Verse 45 shows the difference between the Kripana, which is miser, and Dhira. A sober person. You don't have this verse, and I'll summarize it, and I'll just read it. Sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Grihamedis, so-called grihastas, who have no spiritual knowledge, think this itching is the greatest platform of happiness, although actually it is a source of distress. The kripanas, the fools, who are just the opposite of brahmanas, are not satisfied by repeated sensuous enjoyment. Those who are dhira, however, who are sober, who tolerate, are not subject to the sufferings of fools and rascals. So if you actually tolerate, according to nectar instruction, you're a guru, and you can deliver disciples all over the world, if you can tolerate the urges of the senses. So Srila Prabhupada, in Bhagavatam, actually, I'll go to Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 2nd chapter, about Ajamila. And this is a verse spoken by Yamaraj, the Lord of Death. My dear servants, bring to me for punishment only persons who are averse to the taste of the honey of your lotus feet and association with devotees, who do not associate with devotees and are attached to family life and worldly enjoyment, which form the path to hell. So the Yamadutas, they're looking for the Kripanas, the misers, the fools. The Vishnudutas are looking for devotees. Not only at the time of death they're looking for us, they're looking for us even now. Srila Prabhupada explained that in a lecture on this 6th canto, that the Yamadutas are like a police patrol, a universal police patrol, and they're looking for the sinful people. And the Vishnudutas are also, they're from the spiritual world, they're the spiritual patrol, and they're looking to help devotees. If you're chanting Hare Krishna, they'll come and protect you. If you're feeling morose, they'll give you inspiration. So they are also wandering around looking for devotees. When Srila Prabhupada was in India, Gorakhpur, he was giving a class on these verses. And at the end, he gave a different translation to this verse by Yamaraj, because there were many Indians in the audience, and we were just starting our life membership program. And so Srila Prabhupada said, bring to me all those who do not become life members of ISKCON. So they all became life members after that class. Time, place, and circumstance. So Prabhupada, he had that mood, and he had a way to... He said he tricked us, so he tricked them, he also tricked us. He said, you are not interested in Krishna consciousness, I tricked you all. So, but we were happy that we were tricked by Prabhupada somehow or other. Yes?
Yes, and that story, Bhagavanda, Prabhupada would say, Krishna sent you to us, Krishna sent you to me to help me to spread this Hare Krishna.
Right.
And Bhagavanda said, Prabhupada, how can you say that? We were all whoremongers, and we took drugs, and we had...
Yeah, so here was a story about Brahmananda, where Prabhupada said, you are all sent to me by Krishna. I know another story by Bhajahari in London. He's telling Prabhupada, I'm working in a factory, a steel factory, and they put me on the night shift because I thought it was a promotion because you get more pay. He said, but after 2 weeks, I had a nervous breakdown and I couldn't work in this factory anymore. And Prabhupada said, yes, that is because in your past life, you were all brahmanas and we were together in the last life and now we are together again. And so sometimes Prabhupada would say that. Sometimes he would say, I am giving you the mercy. I am making your pious credits. So he would say different things at different times. Yes, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati sent you to me to help. And sometimes he would say, I am creating your pious activities, pious credits. So who knows? Only Prabhupada knows if we were sent, or if we were tricked, or if he created our pious activities. Perhaps a combination of everything. But somehow we're here today and we're very fortunate. So verse 46 is the indirect path. We'll just summarize the rest of the verses because it's already time to stop. So the indirect path, Prahlad Maharaj lists 10 prescribed methods to remain silent, not to speak to anyone, observe vows, amass Vedic knowledge, austerity, studying Vedas, Varashram, explain the Shastras, stay in a solitary place, chant mantras silently, be absorbed in trance. He said, these different methods for liberation are generally only a professional practice and means of livelihood for those who have not conquered their senses. Because such persons are falsely proud, these procedures may not be successful. So our process is different. We chant, instead of remaining silent, we chant Hare Krishna. Our austerity is to chant Hare Krishna. Our studying the Vedas is chanting Hare Krishna, and then we'll understand Bhagavatam. We'll understand all these things. So we're very fortunate that we don't have to go through this whole indirect path. We simply chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So verse 47 is about the energy of the Lord, cause and effect. A wise man, considering cause and effect, can see how fire pervades wood. Those engaged in devotional service understand how you are both the cause and effect. Beautiful purport in first canto. Super soul is pervading everything, just like fire is in this wood. And there's fire in this wood, there's fire in this one, and there's fire in what I'm sitting. And if the fire were to come out, I'd be in trouble. But fortunately, the fire is staying in the wood. Now, the super soul is within everything in this creation. And the pure devotee, he knows how to bring out the super soul and reveal him to everyone. Just like Krishna is our chariot driver in our heart. But the pure devotee, Arjuna, he could bring out Krishna and have him drive his chariot even in full sight of everyone. And so this is what verse 47 is about. We're trying to see Krishna everywhere now in these verses. In verse 48, you are air, earth, fire, sky, water, Objects of sense perception, life airs, five senses, mind, consciousness, and false ego. You're everything. Subtle and gross, anything expressed by words or mind are nothing but you. So, did he leave anything out? Everything is Krishna. And the devotee knows how to see Krishna in everything. Because he sees everything belonging to Krishna, as we discussed, I think, in one class. So everything should be offered to him, including ourselves, including all the people we see. They're also Krishna's. They should be offered to Krishna. So verse 49, nobody can understand Krishna because we're all subject to birth and death. So this is a principle. We cannot understand Krishna. Two principles are there. We can't understand Krishna. Krishna is everywhere. Krishna is everything. Everything belongs to Krishna. Therefore, if we understand this, what should be our behavior? We understand everything belongs to Krishna. There's a principle. Now, if you believe in a principle, then you will exhibit a certain behavior. So if you believe Krishna is everything, everything belongs to Krishna, how will you behave? What will you do?
Engage in devotional service.
Thank you very much. You engage not only yourself, you'll engage everything in devotional service to Krishna. Very good. And that is what Bhagavad Gita says. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matta bhajante mam bhuta bhava samanvitaha. That I am the source of everything, everything comes from me, and the wise who know this engage in devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So if you know this world belongs to Krishna, you belong to Krishna, then you will use everything and worship Krishna with everything you see, and including yourself. Now the last verse, 50, is about the conclusion. So I'll read the verse. Supreme Personality of Godhead, best of all persons to whom prayers are offered. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because without rendering six kinds of devotional service unto you, offering prayers, dedicating all results of activities, worshipping you, working on your behalf, remembering your lotus feet, and hearing about your glories, who can achieve that which is meant for the Paramahansas? So his goal is to achieve what the Paramahansas want, and that is our goal. We're reading the Paramahansa Sangita, Srimad Bhagavatam. It's for Paramahansas who are not envious of anyone. And after all these prayers, Lord Nrisimhadeva said, I am very pleased with you. He pacified and he pleased the Lord. So that is the goal of our life, to please Krishna. We don't have to worry about pacifying him. He's already pacified by Prahlad. But we want to please Krishna. And we want to serve Krishna. And Lord Nrisimhadeva, he said to Prahlad, okay, whatever you want, you take from me. And Prahlad, of course, he said, I don't want anything. I just want your devotional service. Of course, in the next chapter, he will ask for his father's benefit. But for himself, he will not ask anything except to be engaged in devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada says, there is a competition between the devotee and the Lord. Krishna wants to give everything to the devotee. Devotee wants to give everything to the Lord. So there's a competition. Who will win? Of course, Krishna will win because he has 10 hands and we only have 2 hands. As Prabhupada said, what can we accept? So the last word, Prabhupada says, try to make such an arrangement that Krishna may not give you anything, you give to him. So that was Prabhupada's final words on these prayers. And I'll stop here if there's any questions or comments. Maharaj, you have some comments? Or anybody have questions? We can answer, try and answer those questions, or Maharaj can answer them. And since he's here. Yes?
I was just thinking, when you're talking about the rich buses, and you know, they're kind of reluctant to leave Vrindavan because they're
right. They don't want to leave, it's a vow.
Yeah, they're thinking it's dangerous, you know, to travel to the west, but where is the realization?
Yeah.
Krishna protects us. Whenever we even just take one step out there to preach, you know, Krishna is there protecting
us.
Yes.
So where is that? Where is the realization? She's asking that Krishna will protect us. Yeah. Well, there, you know, as Prahlad says, there are people who go to the forest, and even Vrindavan used to be a forest, not anymore. When I went in 72, Vrindavan was a forest still, but now it's more like a jungle, a forest like the city forest, asphalt jungle almost. It's like a city. Yes, that's a very good point. Thank you for that. Yeah, where's the faith? But it's they just have a whole different attitude and mood, so we can't disturb their mood. And Prabhupada didn't. He tricked them to give him blessings. But now they're more open. Like I went to one Brijbasi before I started traveling and preaching and gave me blessings. He said, yes, it's very good. Of course, he wouldn't do it, but he gave me at least they're willing to give blessings now. Yeah, at least that much. Because they saw what Prabhupada did. Yes? Did I hear something here?
I said they can be preaching by their example, being meditating on Krishna.
Yes, preach by example.
It's
a different life. Yes, Maharaj?
Even Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami, when Lord Chaitanya asked Sanatana Goswami to go to Vrindavan,
right.
He said to very, understand that the residents of Vrindavan have a different mood.
Yes.
Therefore, you should not deal with them very intimately.
Yeah.
Instead, you should take shelter. I guess at that time, Jagannath Pandit was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we had to, we have also, we tried.
Maybe it's the opposite. It's Jagannath.
Yeah, we should, we try not to associate intimately with the Brijbasis and try not to make them angry and curse you, also, which is quite easy to do.
The
rickshaw drivers. They're mostly not Brijbasis, they're Bengalis mostly, so it's not so bad. Yeah. I mean, they're used to fighting. Yeah. You have to be very careful. Don't be too intimate with them, right? It's a whole different mood. You tell them, "Oh, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill," they'll say, "How can Krishna lift Govardhan Hill? He's only a small boy. He can't lift Govardhan Hill. Why do you think like that?" So that's why maybe they don't have faith that Krishna will protect them, because he's just a small boy and we have to protect him. Actually, that's the mood of the Brijbasis. We have to protect Krishna. How can he protect us? That's the mood in Goloka Vrindavan. When Kaliya was there, they all wanted to jump into the Jamuna to protect him. They're all thinking, we have to protect Krishna, and it's only because we're worshipping Narayan that he's protected. We've done some pious activities in our last life, so these demons are getting killed somehow or other. And Narayan is very pleased with us, so therefore Krishna is always saved. That could be why also, that they don't have faith in Krishna. He's going to protect them. They got to protect him. They got to protect Krishna, actually. They don't have that faith. It's quite different. Quite different. Okay, any other questions or comments? The comments are very nice today. Yes?
I was wondering if you could explain a little bit more the last thing you said about making arrangement.
Yeah, Prabhupada said that. Make arrangement. Krishna may not give you anything. You give it to him. Well, what that means is, we go to pray when we're in trouble. I mean, but it's allowed. It's allowed. If you're in trouble, you should go to Krishna. If you need something, you should go to Krishna. Like one of my God sisters, she was walking, she was late coming home from Mathura to Vrindavan, and there was no rickshaw at that time many years ago, and she started praying, I hate to ask you this, Krishna, but, could you please send the rickshaw over here, because I'm walking, but it's not very safe, to walk to Vrindavan. And lo and behold, the rickshaw came. So that's what it means. Try not to ask Krishna for so many things. But we have the example of Dhruva Maharaj, so it is certainly okay to do that, to ask for something, regretfully, especially if you're a grihastha and you have children, then you may have to ask for something. But try to make it so that you give more to Krishna than he gives to you. Of course, it's not possible, but you can try that way. Just like it was Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami was in the forest. He wanted to make a feast for his guru, Sanatan, his brother. And he had nothing, and then this beautiful little girl came with all the ingredients, and he said, "Oh, wonderful, I'll make a feast." And then his Sanatan Goswami said, "Where did you get all these things?" He said, "Oh, there's this beautiful girl." And then he chastised him. That was Radharani. We don't take service from Radharani. So that's the mood of the Vaishnava, is that we don't want to take service from Krishna. We try to give service. We don't want to ask for any, but sometimes, you know, even I, you know, myself especially, I'm not such a pure devotee. If I get a headache, I can't tolerate pain, and I just say, okay, I've reached my limit of tolerance. And, you know, Krishna always helps me. But it's, of course, best to tolerate and say, okay, it's your mercy, Krishna. I know it's your mercy somehow. Thank you, Krishna, for giving me this headache. I'll be more humble. I know I probably need to rest. I'm doing too much, and that's why I have to have a headache and lie down and rest. Because we do forget, even we're old, you know, over 60, way over, and but we don't feel like our, you know, we're this body. Sometimes we forget that we are over 60, and we do things that, you know, young people do, like work, you know, work hours and hours, and sometimes run down the stairs and, oh, no, I forgot, I can't do that. And you get to the bottom and you're, oh, my knees, oh, my God. Just forget, you know. So Krishna sometimes has to remind us, okay, feel that pain over there? Don't do it, right? So we have switched now our gear from physical to more intellectual energy and mental energy in the service of Krishna. Not so much. When we were young, we were doing a lot of physical energy. 20 hours a day, puja, 4 hours sleeping for many years in Calcutta. But anyway, now it's times have changed and we have to take care of our health. Okay, any other question or comment on this? Professor Prahlad Maharaj. Jai, I'll go to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Why don't you go up with you?